Hey Sudbury, Dave Kurt, broker of record with Lake City Realty, coming at you with another episode of the Sudbury Real Estate Podcast. Spend 15 minutes with you guys on the mic, on the camera. For those watching on YouTube, those listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you guys get in your feeds from. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing your ears or your eyes with me for 15 minutes and where I can give you just a little bit of an update as to what's going on in Sudbury, give you a little bit of my thoughts and my feelings as to how as we head out and round out the summer months here. Wow, I can't believe it. We turn the calendar. It's officially September. With the long weekend coming up, I hope, and school back in session right after that, I feel like we're officially putting a close to summer 2022. I hope it's been an amazing summer for you between traveling with my family, camping, fishing. I've been able to do everything I've wanted to do and more. I hope you and your families have done this exact same thing. As we get ready, all three of our kids went into school last year, so it was the first year that we had that freedom and that flexibility with my wife and I. And this year again, we've got a big kid go to SK, which is very exciting and very nerve-wracking and all that fun stuff. But then we've got grade 2 and grade 4 over at Walden Public that we're looking forward to. And I took a break from the student council last year, but I'm hoping to get back, as I absolutely love the staff and the teachers over there, and I like to try to help out in any way, shape, or form I can with the community. And I hope you guys are doing the same thing with your kids and your communities as well. But what's going on a national level? I like to kind of break things down as to what's going on the Canadian level, and then what's going on in the Sudbury level, and then kind of what's going on in the marketplace. On a national level, it's been an interesting 7 days here. We had mortgage markets have been a lot cooler this week than they have in the last little bit by seeing some big upticks in what that 5-year bond market have us looking back. There was initially that little bit of a pullback where things looked like they were getting better and rates were actually coming down, but now we're pushing all-time highs right now. What happened was the Fed. They had a pretty rough press conference just a couple days ago there where Jerome Powell, he made a lot of economists bearish about where housing, where interest rates, and where the economy as a whole is going. As the friendly neighbors to the north, the Bank of Canada follows the Fed about 90% of the time on whatever they do. So we could look at, if we don't do that, then we could look at a weakened Canadian dollar and our economy pulling back as the US would continue to pushing ahead. So therefore, TIFF over at the Bank of Canada tends to follow whatever the US does. And Powell at the U.S. Fed is not too positive in terms of where things are at. He's saying that they're going to do everything within their power to tackle inflation, which they've said a few times. But I think a lot of people were making predictions that they've hit a tipping point. They kind of beat inflation for the time being, and things were starting to get a handle on things, and things were starting to level out. But from his press conference last week, we're nowhere near the end of it. On a local level, it seems like the election's in full swing. I love driving around and instead of seeing real estate signs all over yards, I'm seeing mayor and ward candidates all over yards. I pulled it up, so it's October 24th is the election. So we've got some time to go before we get into the thick of it. But the mayoral race is quite competitive already. There was initially 10 people on the ballot. Now that's down to 9. And there was even, I pulled it up just when I was doing a little bit of homework, there's a local realtor on the ballot, Devin LaBranche, and I know him well enough, and we've done, I've chatted with him in the past, and he's an interesting individual. So it's good to see, and I like to see realtors getting involved in municipal politics or in politics at any level. I know Fern Cormier does an absolutely fantastic job as his candidate for his ward. And I also saw that there's another, the candidate that's in Walden is also a realtor as well. So again, there's a ton of involvement from realtors. I consider ourselves the fabric of the community. I know myself coaching and sponsoring and really just trying to get involved in any way, shape, or form I can. And obviously that's happening at the municipal level with politics as well. One of the favorites, I think, on the mayor, and again, this is just my unsolicited opinion, but one of the favorites I think would be Paul Lefebvre. If Brian Bigger's to be upset, which it sounds like there's a little bit of frustration around it, Paul might be the guy. He's previously the MP for the Liberals representing Sudbury, and I've had a few opportunities to chat with him, and I think he's a pretty smart candidate, somebody that has his head on his shoulder. He's financially is conservative, where he's not looking to spend a lot of money. He understands that, you know, where we're at with things, and with a rising cost of interest, I'm sure that municipally we're going to be in a challenging time with all of our debts that we've taken out from the federal government are going to have higher rates attached to them as well, which is going to be there's going to be less money to go around. So instead of just jacking up taxes, we're going to have to figure out a way to make things work. Interesting times, and I think as we approach that October 24th date, we'll see a few candidate debates, and there will be I'll be trying to check in with some of the favorite candidates at least, and trying to have some conversations about what's their outlook from a housing perspective, what do they think of the economy locally, and how can maybe what we can do to help things out, or what we can do to try to maybe get rid of some of the red tape that's there. Locally on the real estate front, we had an uptick in sales this week, as well as new listings. And at the very same time, we had that total listings available shrink, even though it was just slightly. So this week we saw 44 sales. That was compared to 37 sales last week. We had 67 new listings comparing those 44 sales. And last week we had 61 new listings. So that jumped up by six, and the sales were bumped up as well. We actually stayed flat with conditional pending deals at 28. And multiple offers. So 23 of those 44 deals happened in multiple offers, which is again hovering around that just over around 50%. What are my five takeaways this week, though, guys? Takeaway number one, the stats seem to be across the board. Sales and new listings are both up while total listings drop by just a couple. Again, what does this highlight? This highlights the fact the market is weeding out the unmotivated sellers. As listings expire or as sellers decide to cancel after not being able to get their price expectations that they set, they're just going to say, I'm no longer interested in selling. I'll wait for the market to rebound, and maybe prices will come back. I'll kind of dissect that in terms of where I think the market's going to go ultimately. But I think that we have to look at overall where are things going, and what we're seeing is we're seeing fewer listings available because we're getting rid of those unmotivated sellers. Takeaway two, August is in the books. So I was able to look back and do some full analysis on the stats as a whole for Sudbury. And when I look at Sudbury, I appreciate the question that came from YouTube last week. But somebody said, where are you getting your stats from? I'm taking just the Sudbury, so New Sudbury, South End, Broder. I'm counting the Valley. I'm counting Hanmer. I'm counting Lively, Walden, Whitefish. I'm counting Garson. I'm counting all these like the City of Greater Sudbury kind of thing. But what I'm not doing is I'm not counting Warren, and I'm not counting St. Charles, and I'm not counting Manitoulin Island, and I'm not counting Espanola, because typically when the Sudbury Real Estate Board releases their stats, they're including all of those data points. And for myself, Espanola is not relevant to the market I'm practicing and I'm trying to educate you guys on. So therefore, I'm trying to weed out those numbers and give you guys relevant stats. But what I was able to look at is I was able to look at sale price ratio. This is one of the most frustrating things that I think consumers have been bothered by over the last say 2 years. But those signs that you'd see appearing on those real estate boards that's sold over list price, the agent's trying to make themselves look like a hero. Look at me, look at me. I sold this house for this big premium. It's created FOMO. It's created some chaos. Sorry about that. It's some chaos where buyers have felt pressure because they need to go and pursue these places. It's position sellers to underprice, where prices are like houses are going for way more than the premiums, even if they were like underlisted in the first place. But it's created this whole chaos in the marketplace. And honestly, like I've been a little frustrated about realtors doing it. I can't stand sold over asking banners that you're seeing and sold over asking posts on Facebook and things like that. Because what's asking price? Asking price became irrelevant. Agents were underpricing, and they still do to some extent. Underpriced so significantly that it's way out of line with where the market is. But this is the first month, and let me just pull up the stats here. I think it was in 19 months in a row where we had sale to list price ratio of over 100%. This is the first time we've seen it after 19 months in a straight time period where we dip below 100%. We're at 99%, so sure, it's not much there, but it is an encouraging sign. And what's happening here? What's happening is we're having sellers that are saying, I'm no longer going to be taking this technique of if my house is worth 350 or 450, I'm not going to list at 300 or 250, just trying to get this buzz of activity. We're seeing that even on places that are so underpriced and they might get 10 offers or something like that, they're still selling for over listing price. And we went over the numbers earlier, 50%-ish or so of those sales are happening over list price. But they're not going for the $100,000 premiums. They're going for $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000. Those are big premiums now. And a lot of times just selling at listing price or just above. So sellers are saying, I'm no longer going to sell significantly underpriced, which is kind of creating a little bit better of a level ground. And at the same time, buyers are saying, I'm not willing to pay those premiums, just like we went over. So you're finding a little bit of normalcy return to this marketplace. These are all positives to happen. And I think this is where we need to go back to get to some version in the world that we're going to go back to what the market was like in 2020 and 2021 before things really went crazy. I see this as a big positive. And again, 99% is almost 100%. So maybe I'm making a bigger deal about it. But to me, it's 19 months in a row, a year and a half straight. We've seen a list to sale price ratio of over 100%. And August 2022 was the first month we saw that dip below. An encouraging sign for myself. Takeaway three, the number of sales is one of the numbers I've been trying to track on a month-by-month basis for the last while. And the real reason I'm really trying to dig into this is because I keep hearing, and again, I'm one of those people that are, I'm glued to what's happening in the media from a real estate perspective, not because I'm being influenced by it, but because I wanna see how it's being portrayed. Especially in Southern Ontario, where it's like, I'm not in that marketplace, and I'm not an expert in that marketplace, but I'm really interested to see what happens there, because typically trends that happen there work their way to Sudbury eventually. The Toronto Regional Real Estate Board, or TREB, keeps posting about, they've been tracking these numbers for 25 years, and every month for the last few months, they've been hitting lows. So it's the lowest number of sales that they've hit for the last 25 years. August actually had a small uptick where it was busier than July, and typically July is busier than August, but the TREB kind of reversed that stat, so August was busier than July, but it was still a 25-year low for number of sales for August, from what I heard. So that's why I wanted to try to track this number in Sudbury and say what's going on. And we've seen some lows in Sudbury. August 22, we had 186 sales. That's the lowest number we've had in 6 years. So going all the way back to 2016, that's the slowest August we've had. But the interesting part is our sales are not down significantly over what they were over the last 6 years. Even when we hit a high, I think we're down 15% from the highest numbers that we've seen, and more like 10%, about 20 sales drop on that 186. So we are hovering right around 200 sales typically in August, and this year we're seeing 186. So I almost take this as an encouraging sign more than anything else, where even with that pullback in sales, and again, we're in the lowest number in 6 years, which is, you can say whatever you want about it, we're not seeing 25-year lows like Toronto's seeing. But also we're seeing only 10% drops from where we were at kind of the craziness of the market year, during those crazy years. Takeaway four. This is one that I've been wanting to chat with you guys for a while about. It's trigger rates. And everywhere I go in the media, they're talking about trigger rates, and with good reason. I think myself, I've really done a lot of deep dives and trying to get really educated about what's happening in the marketplace, especially the mortgage marketplace recently, just because I want to make sure that I can give that knowledge to you guys who I'm trying to give some updates to, and to make the most qualified buyers and sellers in Sudbury. But these trigger rates are a thing, but the media has been talking about. And what's happening is buyers that have taken out variable rates, especially if we're talking about all-time low. So if you said anywhere between 18 months ago to 12, like maybe 8 months ago, those rates that some of these people were qualifying on, these variable rates, were like 1.5%. Crazy, crazy lows. Even right now, they're 4.5-ish percent on that variable rate. So they've gone up about 3%. But what's interesting is the big five banks in Canada. It's my understanding, and again, I could be proven wrong in this, but it's my understanding that when you took out a variable rate, if you paid a $1,000 mortgage payment, your rate didn't change. You didn't go up to $1,010 or $1,100 when those variable rates went up. What happens is it just takes that percentage. So say out of a $1,000 mortgage payment, you were paying maybe $700 towards interest and $300 towards principal. And just as a reminder for those that aren't aware, when you're at the beginning of your mortgage period for the first half of your mortgage, the majority of your money goes towards interest. And on the back half of your mortgage, then you pay down mostly principal. It's kind of like a weird chart like that. So what's happened is as rates increase, they just said, well, instead of putting $700 towards interest and $300 towards principal, we're going to do $800 towards interest and $200 towards principal. And then $900 to interest and $100 to principal. And now we're hitting what could be a trigger rate where $1,000 is paid to interest and you have zero money going against principal at that point. And what's going to, what the big predictions have been, apparently if the, like, September 7th is the next Fed hike, so I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, if that interest rate hike is 0.75% or greater, we're going to see the start of these trigger rates start to happen with mortgages. So if that happens, the banks are going to go back to the people. And actually, I thought in the first place, and we don't know, this is the first time that this would ever happen in Canada. So again, we're kind of in uncharted territory, but I know a lot of the banks are starting to release some information in case this does happen. I thought at the time that they would actually make you requalify for that loan altogether. And maybe you bought 12 months ago and your house was a big price. We've seen corrections across the board all over Canada. And if that pulled back, and if you maybe aren't as qualified, maybe you'd be in a trouble to even qualify for that mortgage based on how much equity you have in the house. It doesn't sound like they're going to do that. And I'm just going on based on what I heard on what, actually, I'll give a little plug to the Looney podcast. I think they do a fantastic job of explaining a lot of economics that are happening in Canada. Like Looney, like the dollar, for anybody that wants to listen to it, they do an absolutely awesome job. But they did some homework, and according to an RBC report, and I'm this is just anecdotal information, but they said there's about 80,000 customers that are going to be hurt by the first trigger rate if it does happen. And this is just RBC clients. And on average, the payments are going to be an extra $200 a month. $200 a month might sound like not a big payment, and that's fine, and maybe these people could handle it. And you're right, they probably are able to, in a position to handle an extra $200 a month. But everything's going up. Groceries are going up, gas has gone up and might be pulled back, but like everything across the board is more expensive. And now what we're going to do is we're going to take $200 out of the pockets of people, out of what they would have left for discretionary income at the end of the month, and that's going to go back towards mortgage payments. The other thing is, this isn't stopping. If the Bank of Canada continues to increase rates, the more and more customers are going to be affected by this, and then they're going to be in a position where more and more clients are going to be, or more and more people across the board with those variable rate mortgages are going to be in this position in the future. So a lot of people have been very negative, especially on Twitter, being like, oh, this is going to cause a crash in the marketplace. And I've thought long and hard about this, and I think what's going to happen more than anything else is over the short term, you're not going to see too much effect. People are going to struggle a little bit more. Maybe they're going to credit cards, which is just a bad thing to be doing, is relying on credit to live that lifestyle they've been living. But where you're going to really see this play out is going to be in the 3, 4, and 5 years from now. It's part of the reason you like to buy a house is you're kind of in this forced savings plan where you're paying down an asset, and then it's going to be hopefully worth more money in the future, and we can debate whether that's going to be true or not. But it's a forced savings plan. The bank, like, if I'm paying $1,000 a month, it's nice to know that, like, I'm paying the bank a bunch of money, but I'm also paying myself a little bit, and I'm creating some equity into that asset. If these people are at this point where so much of their payments are going to the interest and hardly any to the principal, what's going to effectively be happening is, if I bought a house for, in Sudbury, $500,000 in February, and I took a variable rate mortgage that was super low, and I've hit my trigger point, in 5 years from now, when I go to renegotiate, because typically mortgages work on amortization, 25 or 30 years, and term, like a 5-year mortgage, typically if I was on a variable rate. So in 5 years, I have to go renegotiate that term and my rates and all that stuff. If I hit that 5-year rate, which would happen in 4 years from now, and my mortgage is the same balance, I've put myself in a bad position. I haven't created any of that equity. That there's been no forced savings plan there where I've actually paid down a mortgage and put myself in a better financial position. And I think that that's more likely the position that we're going to see, where people have an asset that they haven't paid down and they haven't created the equity in like they have in the past. So not only is a mortgage, like I see prices being flat, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more where I see the marketplace going, but I think it's right now people rely upon the idea that they're paying that mortgage every month and that's going to create equity in the property. And those that are getting close to their trigger rate are going to find out the sad reality in 3 and 4 and 5 years when their term comes due that they haven't created that equity that they wanted to. And at that time, they're going to have to requalify and whatever they're going to position they're going to be in. So that's a long-winded kind of way of going about it, but I wanted to kind of explain my knowledge of what's going on there. And actually, one thing I'm hoping to do is to hop on a podcast or a blog with an expert in the mortgage market, and we can kind of have a chat about what trigger rates are, especially as we get closer to that September 7th deadline, when it's my understanding this is going to be the first time we've ever seen this happen in Canada, that we've hit these trigger rates. Just a little side note, so I just signed a mortgage at 4.5% or whatever on a variable rate. My trigger rate was about almost 8%. So it's like if variable rates hit 8%, then that's when I would be in that position. But I actually went over and like, it's never hit me to ask those questions that like, as the rates increase, are my payments going up? No, they're not. My payment stays the same at whatever I'm paying right now. They're just like, it took me asking those questions to get the understanding and the explanation that just more money goes to principal, or sort of more money goes away from principal and to the interest. Long-winded way of going about that, guys, and I apologize if I kind of was a little bit over your head, but I did want to take a few minutes and explain what I see as one of the bigger issues, and not so much in the short-term marketplace, but the marketplace 3 to 5 years out, that I think we could be in some big trouble over the long term. Point five, where does the market go from here? I was actually really optimistic that September 7th, the Bank of Canada was going to hike the rates, and we were going to see... I was kind of thinking this was going to be the last increase for the year. It might have been wishful thinking, but I actually thought if it was a 0.5% increase, they're going to do one or two more. But if it was 0.75 or more, that it was going to be the last one. They were going to say, let's take a step back. Let's see the carnage we've caused in this marketplace over the last 8 months, 9 months of hikes. And let's just see how things play out a little bit further before we look at touching these rates again. I'm sadly mistaken now. And based on what I've seen, and we went over it a little bit earlier about how Powell and the Fed had that really negative press conference just a couple days ago, he flat out said in his speech that the Fed will continue to sharp interest rate hikes, even despite the fact that they know it's going to cause pain and suffering in a lot of Americans in the form of a weaker economy and a lot more job losses. He came out and said that he knows that this is happening. This is what's going to be tough. We're in a strong economy now. There's so many jobs, and like it's so positive to see that there's so much potential and so positivity around the marketplace as a whole from a job marketplace. But I do see that if they continue to go down this route of increased hikes, they could do some damage to the economy. And what it was actually almost like a bloodbath on the stock market day, apparently, like the Dow was down 1,000 points at one day after he made that announcement. Because I think a lot of the economists down in the US kind of had that same thought that we've kind of tackled inflation, we're headed in the right direction, and the Fed is going to take a pause and just kind of wait and see things. Going back to what does that mean for Canada? Tiff McCallum at the Bank of Canada typically follows the Fed's footsteps every single time they get a chance. So we've got, I think it's like 93% of the time the Fed does something, the Bank of Canada is going to follow suit. So I think that we're going to be in the same thing. And I was very optimistic that 2022 was the carnage. Starting 2023, we're going to see like flatlining and just kind of a wait and see approach. But now I'm actually thinking that it's going to be well into 2023 before the Bank of Canada stops with their rate hikes. What does that mean? I talked about this before, that I don't think we're going to see the bottom of the marketplace until we have the Bank of Canada flatline these hikes, until we see them step back and say, no, I'm no longer going to hike these rates in the future. That means I think that we're going to continue to get pullbacks in the marketplace. Again, in Sudbury, our average price point is much more affordable. Like, am I bearish on the local economy, or am I bullish and bearish being in my think that things are going to pull back, or am I bullish thinking that things are going to go up in the future? I talked to people out of buying a home this week. The calls that I got, and they were just got my name from wherever, and they're just like, oh, like we're looking at being in Sudbury. I've got a job that's going to see me up there for 2 years or something like that. And I'm like, if you're going to be here for less than 5 years, don't buy. Like, I don't want to see you, like, unless you actually want to do it and you're okay with the idea of maybe having the place losing a little bit of money on it, because buying costs a lot of money. If you're hiring me as a realtor, like, I'm charging commission, there's land transfer tax on the purchase, maybe land transfer tax on the next purchase you're going for, there's taxes. You need to bank, it's nice to see some appreciation in your property to be able to cover some of those expenses. And if you're buying today, I don't think the market's going to go up in the 2 years. If you're buying for the long term, if you're buying for 5 years plus, if you plan on being in Sudbury, if you can afford your payments, we know what the interest rates are now, and I would actually bank on interest rates going up in the future as well. I want you to make sure you're creating a little bit of margin for error in those payments. And if you want to buy a home, it's probably a great time to buy. You can look at a house, maybe go back a second time. You can write a conditional offer, maybe an offer conditional on selling your home, financing inspection, do whatever due diligence you want that's tied to that offer. This is where, like, it's a positive from all these stance. And again, if you plan on being in the house for 5+ years, go for it. By all means, I think it's a good decision. But if you're going to be in for the short term, if you're in just to try to time the marketplace, you've got the wrong approach. And it's probably better to be a renter as opposed to a buyer if that's your situation. To the point where I just talked a couple people out of buying just this week. But that's kind of where I'm seeing things, guys. It's kind of that same message I've been delivering for a long time now, that if you're trying to time the market, bad idea. If you picture yourself, if it's a house you want, if it's a house you can afford and you plan on being here for the long term, by all means, guys, jump into the marketplace. And I'd love to chat with you guys if there's any specific questions or in terms of how Lake City can help you out to get there. But that's my big bold prediction for the week. This might be one of the longest podcasts, guys. I think we're approaching about a half an hour here. Just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you. If you stayed with me for this long, please like it. Tell your friends about it. If there's somebody else there in Sudbury that I can help become a more educated buyer or seller or investor, we want to be there for you guys. Love to sit down for a coffee if you have any questions. Comment, like, review, share this podcast. And thanks for watching. Until next week, guys. Have a great one, Sudbury.